Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, May 13th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 284. I have a super special return guest, Rod Morrow from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. You know him, you love him. Going to share that conversation with you in a bit. Right now, I want to wish all the moms a happy Mother's Day. Everybody, if you have a mom or motherly figure in your life, give them a call and let them know how you feel. I know you're supposed to do that shit all the time or on a regular basis, but now is the time. You know, even though it's a commercial holiday, I think it's still warranted. It makes sometimes you forget to acknowledge the people in your life that mean something to you. So it's a good time to do it. I sent my mom a card. I sent some money, and you know, you have to let. And I called my mom too. You know, so yeah, do that for the people while they're here, and appreciate them and let them know, man. Give people their flowers while they still here, young. So yeah, do that. I am recording this intro in my apartment. I've got funny people on mute. I was watching that. I know a lot of people kind of hate on it a little bit or say it's too long. It's a 2.5 hour, it's 2.5 hours. And, maybe the sequence toward the back end after, Adam Sandler's character, if he finds out that he's not sick, that kind of dragged a little bit, but it's still a really good movie. I really like, and Leslie Mann is good. So it's not like, it's not shit, but I really like this movie. I think this is one of my favorite Judd Apatow movies, mainly because it has this sentimental value to me, because I started stand up around the time that this movie came out in 2009. And, yeah, I guess it has that sentimental value for me. And I am not afraid to say that. Okay. I'm not afraid. I really dug the stand up stuff. And, Seth Rogen's character arc in this one. What else, you guys? Oh, last week I went to the Montclair Film Festival. I forgot to tell you guys about that. I went to see this movie called Support the Girls, which stars Regina Hall from Girls Trip, Scary Movie, Best Man, and she plays a woman who's the general manager of this place called Double Whammy, which is like, is it called Double Whammies or just Double Whammies? I think it's called Double Whammies, and it's a sports bar that's a Hooters like sports bar. And it's basically a day in the life of her coming to a realization and at the same time running this sports bar. And it's really good. It stars a black queen and a white starlet. One of my favorite white starlets, Haley Lou Richardson, from my favorite movie of last year, Columbus. Highly underrated film. I'm going to stay on my Columbus agenda for the foreseeable future. So I really dug this movie. It was good to see a black female actor carry like an independent film, and it was just a solid, fulfilling flick. I don't know when this is coming out, but I really dug it. Montclair Film Festival is in Montclair, New Jersey, and shout out to the homie Darren Patterson for reminding me of it. And I think this is the first time that it's the first time that I ever went to this film festival. And I'm going to do better. Like, I started following them on social media, so I'm going to try to do more shit next year and try to see more. The movie junkie in me went to the website after Darren had reminded me about it, and I saw all these movies that I would have loved to have seen, but that would have been a lot of money and a lot of I probably would have fallen asleep in half of them because I was burning the candle at both ends. But next year I'm going to prepare for it and try to see more and all that jazz. So I really dug that, and did a show last night in Pleasantville, New York, at Lucy's Laugh Lounge. Shout out to Frank Pellegrino and Tom Grassi, two of the NoMa comedy guys. Lucy's Lounge is a bar, and they have like rock bands perform in their front room, and in the back room there's a club and comedy club, and it was fun. Like, it's always evolving. Every time I go there, they're doing cool shit, and I had a great time doing a show there. Yeah, so that was cool. Saw a couple movies that I think that probably gonna try to do an indie movie corner and just like a movie reviewer. So maybe that's coming for you Patreon subscribers. Look, guys, Patreon is up there. We're doing cool shit over there. It's not just, you might see that there's movie reviews, but there's more to it than meets the eye. It's not just, oh, this movie was good. We talk that shit, young. We be talking that shit about everything on there. So it's really cool. So join, subscribe, all that good stuff to the Patreon page. What else? Was there anything else that I wanted to say before I get you to Rod? Talked about those flicks. Oh, did a shot. I worked on a web series or internet media. I did this project with some buddies that I had worked with before. If you remember that web series that I did, Cooperation, that I did a couple years ago, where I played like a sitcom dad, basically. Abby Crutchfield was my wife. Shout out to Abby Crutchfield, new mom. And we did that. And that was a couple years ago. And I think it's coming out in later on this summer. So whenever it does, if there's links and stuff, I will provide it and share it with you and all that good stuff. So let's just get you to Rod. How about we get you to Rod? Rod and I talked, I think we talked a few days ago, and we mainly talked about the Donald Glover, This Is America video, and a lot of the stuff that surrounded it. And we just kind of shot the shit and talked about it, and a lot of interesting things came up. And it might seem like, you get to these things when you get to them, but it's funny how This Is America video was, oh, this is controversial, and this is all this black trauma, and I don't know if we could deal with this, and oh my God, what is he doing? And less than a week later, people are doing memes of the video with him dancing to Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe and Car Wash and all this goofy shit. And they've turned it into so the internet's turned it into something else, as it is want to do. So it's become a whole thing. But we had an interesting conversation about the video, Donald Glover, nonetheless. And I kind of did a deep dive, not much of a deep dive, but just watching episodes of Atlanta. So listen to some of his older music, and it's crazy how, like, even just thinking about that EP with Freaks and Geeks, that was 2011, and some of the stuff that he was saying on those songs is some of the shit that ends up in Atlanta. Some of the stuff in Camp is in Atlanta. How much of himself he puts in the work, and I think he's really talented. I've been a fan of his for quite some time. So we just kind of talk a little bit about everything Donald Glover, and then we get into the stuff that surrounds it a little bit too. So enough of me telling you what we talked about. Why don't I just share the fucking episode with you? So without further ado, this is episode 284. It's me and Rod talking shit. All right. Enjoy it, folks. So I guess you and I are both, I think we could both consider ourselves to be Donald Glover, Childish Gambino hipsters.
Yeah, I call myself at this point a stan. I say I'm in a Don Hive, I guess, to a certain extent. But
what did you call it? Yeah. The Don Hive?
Yeah, I don't think he has a Childish Gambino Hive yet. So yeah. I probably, whenever we get something, I'm sure I'll be in the short shorts hive or whatever we're into. But we definitely go way back with DG.
I remember in 2011, you, Brandon, and me did a eargasm review of Camp, I believe, on Where's My 40 Acres. I think we did. I remember all three of us talking about it on a podcast, at least. Maybe Deirdre was there, too.
Yeah, it was, that album for a debut album, I just thought was very outside the box that people had tried to place him in.
Yeah.
And it was definitely about him not wanting to be in anybody's, like, stereotype. Like, he wasn't trying to be the weird, blurred black dude that doesn't like other black people. Like, he wasn't trying to do that. He wasn't really trying to be the token black dude who hates black people and white people pat him on the back for it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to be the guy who never talks about racism. Like, it was a bunch of stuff he kind of broke out of with that joint, which is why, you know, he got that 1.6 from Pitchfork. But yeah, I always felt like, you know, while the album still had, you know, it was mad immaturity, mad, you know, punchlines he's reaching for and stuff. It was just like a really solid debut for a guy that we really thought, you know, was playing around with this alter ego that was a rapper at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I even noticed growth even before that project, you know, like he was before, like the when he did just the EP with the leaves on it. And
yeah.
From Cul-de-Sac and...
Cul-de-Sac was the mixtape. The EP was the joint that had Freaks and Geeks on it, which was a really big coming out party for him. I actually did a little bit of a walk through his videography yesterday, kind of thinking about This Is America and being like, let me look back at some of these other references. And I just remember Freaks and Geeks and how hard he was trying in that video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and as he said on Royalty, when he said that, I think he said Black Thought told him to dial the swag back.
Yeah.
So, like, he clearly took it to heart, but it was like a real, it just reminded me of how much he wanted to impress everybody compared to now, where it seems like he's impressive and he just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
And I think that's the right kind of, like, I was talking about that with a couple of my friends with stand-up. How it's like you have to have the right kind of not give a fuck when you approach your art or your craft, to where it's like you care, but you don't. Like you want to just sort of stand in your truth and then, you know, build from there. And I feel like I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when it comes to a lot of this stuff, because there's definitely, like, in The Sick Boy and the Poindexter from the I'm Just a Rapper, everybody was making that comparison to Lil Wayne and the nasally stuff. And then you kind of saw something happen definitely with the EP. And then Royalty was just in another, even from Camp, where, you know, just like, God, the guy is evolving. You could definitely chart.
Yeah, Royalty to me was about him saying, I can hang with anybody. Because Royalty had Chance on it, had Danny on Brown on that joint, RZA, yeah. Ghostface, Bun B. Like, this was not, like, that was him saying, okay, I get that y'all think, you know, this shit is a joke or a gimmick or whatever, but I can hang with these niggas and I can do different types of songs. I mean, shit. I mean, I wish he hadn't, but at the time, I mean, he had Beck come out of retirement to do a verse. You know, I didn't know that was going to lead to Beyonce not getting her Grammy, but like, I appreciated that dude. Like, he even had Beck out there spit bars.
Oh man, yeah, he did. Yeah, I think. I don't know. It just seemed like after camp, like, which I liked, he was just a lot of the shit was just kind of like really in the pocket. Like there are at least three or four records that, you know, like that just end up in a playlist that you really like. And I remember like breaking up with a girl or shit, a girl breaking up with me. And then like hearing Sober. You know, like just like hearing that record and just kind of having that resonate with me. And it was just like a lot of his shit was just really in the pocket. And one thing, you know, you brought up in your episode with JL, who I think I'm just going to call him racist after his what did he call Donald Glover? A store brand Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, who's right? Who's written what exactly?
Yeah, like
you know, like I love me some Jamie Foxx, but yeah. I mean to say that to knock Donald Glover down is if one that's an insult because Jamie Foxx I think is a great actor, and a great talent, but musically and creative project wise, I mean, are we serious?
Yeah,
Jamie Foxx might have him in acting. I mean, I'll give him that, but. Donald's no slouch at acting, and then you throw in the music and the writing, and I'm like, yeah, that's not even close.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair because he doesn't do that. And I know he's trolling us. You called him on it. Like, we're not talking about. I know you because you said you called him on it, and when he was on the show about like the Black Panther stuff, you know. But you mentioned this in the episode where you said he's a great mimic. And when I think about Jamie Foxx, I think Jamie Foxx was great at that too. Jamie Foxx is a super talented guy. And when you're a polymath like that, when you're good at more than one thing, I feel like that's almost like a strike against the artist at sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember just, you know, saying like, because you spoke to something where he is a good mimic, and then whatever he's doing, if it's good, if he's doing a song and it sounds good, then it's like, what's the problem?
Yeah, that's the extra level that I'm at where I'm like, okay, but take the next step. Don't just say, because you know, my man Fonte Coleman, he said before, like, Donald Glover is a great mimic, and
he said it on this show, yeah.
I believe it was this show. And I think, you know, someone else might have took that as an insult.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but if that's the truth and you're saying I'm great at it, then what's the problem? I'll listen to a P-Funk cover band.
Yeah.
Like, I'll listen to that shit. Like, if the shit good and it sound like new original P-Funk songs, and I can't believe a nigga that can rap can also do that and also do, you know, that basically R&B mixtape with Sober and everything on it. Like,
yeah.
You know, hey, man, if you can do all that stuff, man, hey, good for you, bro. You know how many people are mimicking the greats and failing every year? And we're like, you know, Kalani is nobody Sade, you know what I mean? Or whatever, like, like we're always like, this person sounds like them, but not as good. This is the first time we're like, this person sounds like so-and-so, but they were inspired by blank, but also they made a dope song.
Yeah, because I felt like... Because I can't get this is America record out of my head. Part of it's because of the imagery in the video, and then part of it's like one of those things where it's like it's a catchy song, but then it just still continues to resonate. And I don't want to just really attack the song as of yet, but it's just like because I think when you mentioned Fonte. Like, I think, like, early on, he had shouted out Fonte in one of those records. I don't remember what record it was, but a lot of people look to Fonte as, like, somebody. And I'm biased because I think the guy is great. Like, he's in my top five. And I don't know, man. I lost myself in this, but I think it's just interesting that every time he puts something out, where do I want to go with this? Let's just talk about the song.
All right, you know what
it is? Okay, so this song is great. And then when I saw like the Saturday record, like this overshadowed Saturday, which I thought was a good jam. Obviously, there's more, This Is America has more weight to it. But when I looked at Saturday after watching that This Is America for a few times, I was like, this is a pretty good jam, too. This is a really fun jam that if Pharrell made it, I don't know if people would have a problem with it. Pharrell's not the best singer ever, but it's something about Pharrell that makes you connect to what he's doing.
Right.
Like, because remember when Frontin' came out, like 03, 04?
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, God, that's a good fucking song. And I don't know if go ahead.
The thing is also you can't even talk about this video without really talking about the fact that he put out the video before the song, right? Like you can't. So like you could go hear the song on Tidal and stuff the next morning, but the only way to consume this art at first was to get the video from, from his website or YouTube. So, I think that was a huge part of the effect and why so many people had so many different opinions. Yeah. Because if you had just heard the song, no video, just heard the song, I don't think people have as much of a problem or as many hot takes or even as much like, this is genius. They're just like, oh yeah, it's a bop. He's clearly, maybe it's the theme of the album or something. He's clearly going to be talking about something, but we don't know exactly what this is.
Right.
But when you combine it with the visuals, you're like, oh my God, what is this? What is he going to do with this?
Yeah. Do you think that, because when you mentioned Freaks and Geeks as a transitional record and a video, and that was in a warehouse, this was also in a warehouse, probably in the same warehouse.
That's actually what made me start my video trip through memory lane last night. Was like, wait a minute, Freaks and Geeks was in a warehouse. Is it the same warehouse? Is it like a theme to this? Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a coincidence. It's not directed by the same person. Like Hero Mirai did, like four or five videos with him so far. They're all great.
Yeah.
And he's done some of Atlanta. He's done that new Assassin show on HBO. He's starting to blow up. But so I was like, okay, I think it's kind of a coincidence that they're both warehouses, but the camera was completely different. Like in Freaks and Geeks, one of the dopest things about that video is it's filmed from so far away. He's performing the song, and then it slowly pans in till you get that Lansky on him. So it's just slowly like bringing you into the jam as he gets more and more chaotic and manic, and the punchlines get more like more aggressive and shit like that. Like that's it was a great introduction video, but at the same time, like he's light years ahead of that shit now, man.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I know how we geeked out on when we did, oh my God, Roman Israel, when we did that that review, like of that record. What record was that they played? And when Denzel was getting the donut.
Wasn't it? What song was that? Oh
shit! I'm sorry to bring that up. And that.
Now I'm drawing a blank, bro. Oh yeah, that's my scene, man.
Yeah,
that scene by itself should be on YouTube or at least it could be a GIF on Twitter. I can share it.
Let me see what I can find. Put the mic back in. But it's definitely one of those that's like it's a good, because it made me forget about the record, because it's like the doom doom doom. I forget the Roman J. Israel scene, donut scene, maybe? I don't know. It seems like they would be in here, but
right.
I can't find it.
Maybe it only mattered to me and you, man.
It's just a TV spot. Let me
see if this is. Yeah, I know the trailer for the movie was "I Love Myself," but that's not the song that was playing in that.
It was thing. Little
Time. Yeah. Oh, what is the name of that song? It's at the end of the last album. Hold on, I'm gonna find it.
It might be Baby Boy.
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay,
it.
Okay.
Little hands, little feet.
Yeah, man.
Tiny heart, tiny feet. Even that.
No, is that it?
And it goes. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it kind of had a little Curtis Mayfield vibe to it. Yeah, man. It was just. Yeah, it made me go back and listen to that album. I think he's great. Like, he's just one of those. And I don't remember being super excited for an SNL in quite some time. Maybe if it was a comedian, like when Louis was going to do a monologue, but I wasn't really that excited for us. Like acting, I wasn't excited for the sketches or anything. Like Mulaney, I was excited to see him do stand up, but the acting, I don't remember having that much anticipation for it. And I was working on Saturday night, and I saw people talk about the video, but I didn't look at the video until Sunday morning. But I did watch that episode, and it made me feel good because I was worried that I guess like media is like Donald Glover and Atlanta, it's a great show and, it has all this right. weight to it and, all this critical acclaim, which is a good thing. But then you don't remember that Donald Glover is, was from the Derek comedy where he was silly, are we going to get that type of Donald Glover? Are we going to get the mystery team Donald Glover? And we got him a little bit and that was pretty. That was pretty fun. So I liked the fact that he was able to, he made fun of himself. But I think maybe that was just my expectation was just like, blah, kind of.
His SNL performance was great. Also, the writing was great. So I wonder how much influence he had on that. Because that Orange Juice Jones skit was completely so black.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, do white people know what this is he's doing right now? But it's such a black cultural moment that we all immediately knew. Oh, damn. But he's always been kind of boxed in by expectations and he's always kind of broke them. So, I just thought he did a great job. I knew he could do it. I was just more excited about the new music he was dropping, even. Skits which all the skits for the most part were very funny.
For some reason I think I missed the Barbie scene, the Barbie sketch, and I saw it on YouTube the next day. Like, that was just funny and weird and silly. Like, he's not afraid to, and the one thing I like about him as an actor is the fact that he's not afraid of, like, I don't think he cares about vanity. Just even recently in Atlanta when, what episode is that where he gets beat up? Episode 8 or 9?
Nine.
Yeah, yeah, where he that scene where he's not afraid to be like, he's Earn is a flawed guy. But let's talk about the video and then I want to talk about Genius and what's going on around that. I don't know. Did you get a chance to read the Ta-Nehisi Coates piece on Kanye?
I tried to read it 6 times and I stopped every time. I can't believe a nigga that has written more books than Kanye has read has to talk to this dude. I'm so disgusted with everything involving Kanye right now, man. It's just, yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
I was just gonna.
No, you gotta go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just think that's part of Coates' job, I guess, maybe to comment on it in the way that he does as a reporter and maybe from being somebody from the Atlantic. But I thought it was a really good piece that had a lot of salient points and the parallels between Michael Jackson and Kanye, and how what I appreciate about Coates' work is that he puts himself in the piece without being like in his work, without being so like overbearing, you know, how you try to, you make things about yourself. But then he talked about his level of fame compared to Kanye and the way that things shifted and changed around him. I really did like it. The video, what are your thoughts on This Is America?
Well, hold up. I just want to go back. I'm not saying it was a bad piece. I just couldn't.
I understand.
Bring myself. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I overstand, actually.
Yeah. I think Coates is a brilliant writer, you know, and now that he's off social media, it's even like, you know, it's almost better, because I think social media is not a good place for a dude that writes long form pieces.
Yeah. It's just, it was sort of interesting to me because I didn't know he wrote it until I saw your tweet or Facebook post.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Shit, he wrote something.
Right. It's like he comes down from the mountain on high to give us, you know, his opinion now. And yeah. I'm like, damn, you wasted one of your trips on Kanye? Like, not this nigga, but I understand. I just don't, you know, like, anyway. But as far as This Is America, man, so before we even can talk about it, I want to talk about the discussion around it, right?
Yes, okay, and let's do that.
The elephant in the room is this. There are people who have a problem with Donald Glover going way back. Mm-hmm. Some of it's with these misnomers of who they think he is, which, you know, those people are kind of, they don't realize it, but they're being anti-black with their whole, like, he talks a certain way and he wears his clothes a certain way, so he must come from a certain type of background. Like, mm-hmm. That nigga's from Stone Mountain, Georgia. That nigga grew up in places where they have Confederate flag rallies every year.
Yep.
Grew up a Jehovah Witness in a house that they basically were poor because they were always taking in kids. His parents couldn't afford it. They were working class. He did have two parents, but it's not like he lived with the best clothes, the best life, best house, any of that shit. He had one of his foster sisters, I think, had HIV her whole life, and he was responsible for taking care of her and shit. And a lot of this is in the music, you know, like it's not like, clearly people aren't fans, and so they go, I saw a dude with a tiny fro and no shirt on and some short shorts, and I've been thinking this dude is some type of a brunch and blackness black dude my whole life. And then you basically got confronted with this black ass show and everything he's done, and they've been resenting him ever since. I still know a dude on Twitter who used to pick at this dude and say he was fake and he wasn't black enough and shit. And now and that dude was also a rapper who called himself, like, you know, who did a lot of like nerdy type rap, and now look at him.
I think I know, you know,
like, yeah, he killed that shit, and now you can't say nothing because he continues to be around with or without your cosign, and that's the mark of greatness. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, there are people that have some pretty valid commentary on him. You know, he's made some homophobic jokes and shit from back in the day. Derek Comedy, I know, they had the nigger faggot joke that was super. It was like the joke was trying to be like, what would be the most offensive joke? But, you know, some people are going to remember that shit. Everything's forever on the internet. He's apparently had tweets. He's, you know, deleted his Twitter account several times and all his tweets. And now he just uses it to market. But even before that, he's had tweets where before he blew up, he'd make jokes that had stuff to do with rape, transphobia, a bunch of shit. You know, a bunch of shit that I can see why people would not forgive or like that dude. Or want other people to like him, even years later, you know. And I want to say I respect that and I understand that because I really do get that. You know what I mean? Right. And I think if we come out and admit that that's what it is, people may feel like they're gonna get dismissed for saying I don't like this dude and I haven't for 10 years, and that's my problem with this video. Right. But at least it would be the truth, because I respect the truth. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I want to get those two elephants out the room. And of course, I think he does have some issues around black women. I think it's not as bad as it used to be, obviously. But, you know, he used to fetishize everybody but black women when he started rapping. And then, like, in typical man fashion, when he was called out for it, he's like, well, I'll fetishize y'all bitches, too. It is like, well, that's not really what we're asking for, but okay. he has some issues around that. His wife, or not wife, his baby mama is white. I don't think that should come up as the problem. Mm-hmm. But just recently they had that Champagne Poppy episode of Atlanta.
Right.
Written by a white woman, directed by a black man. And it had some pretty rough shit around the whole black women hating on black men who date white women and coming up to celebrities and having an attitude and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of was out of nowhere.
That's an episode I got to watch again, because I listened to you and Bossy do your terrific reviews of the episodes. And I said, because I think part of me is like, I got to watch Atlanta. And it was late, and then I fell dozed off. And so I don't think I really caught all of that. But I vaguely remember that scene. So I definitely want to go back and look. So a white woman wrote that?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm not so far in Donald Glover's quote unquote camp that I can't
critique,
be like, yeah, man, that shit was wrong. And, you know, he never apologized for it, although I do think his work has clearly improved, but he ain't perfect. He still probably harbors some resentments and some shit that, because, you know what, I know he didn't write the episode, but to let that be in an episode and you're the showrunner, I mean, it's on you, bro. When they call out the Emmys, your name is the one they're going to call. So you can't have it both ways on that shit. And I think he's grown, and he just hasn't done it in front of us. And I don't think he's done it for us. So there's a lot of people on the internet that don't like that. They really want you to, like, release a statement of apology and tweet about it and Facebook about it and all this shit. And at the end of the day, they're still going to call you fake and say, you know, you didn't do it the right way or for the right reason. So it doesn't really matter. But I just think it, you know, when it comes to, like, Donald Glover and shit, that has to be said, because a lot of the detractors are coming from a place of, I haven't liked this dude for a long time, and that's why I don't like this, because I wouldn't like anything he's ever done.
Yeah, I met him a couple times. Nice guy. Kind of. This was before he even. I remember seeing him at Hannibal's show. God, this might have been probably be like 2009. I just remember him being relatively like a pleasant dude, you know. But and then I kind of want you, even before we get into the video, I mean, I kind of want to talk about the genius stuff, because that's kind of been going around a lot in the last couple of days. Do you think that's better before the video or after we talk?
I mean, obviously he was a genius the whole time. I don't think black people get called genius enough, but what's weird is one of the detractions of the video is, oh, I was so worried about the white gaze. And I'm like, well, I want this artist to be called a genius thing is completely about white people.
Yeah.
Cause black people call people genius all the time. You know, Beyonce is a genius. Rihanna's a genius. Serena Williams is a goddamn genius. LeBron James is a genius. You know, we don't have a problem with that label within our community.
Yeah.
But there's, like, black genius, and then there's genius. And genius comes from white people.
Uh-huh.
So, like, for all this shit about, you know, I don't get why you're so obsessed with the white gays. Well, nigga, you are if you're worried about who get called a genius, because that's a power that white people grant. And what it's really about is, I don't like that sometimes black men get accepted by white people faster than black women, which, I mean, obviously is true. But I went and did some research and started Googling different famous celebrities and genius.
Mm-hmm.
But it's slim pickings for black people. It don't even matter what your gender is. Like, I was shocked that Beyonce, I should have been able to find pages of Beyonce Genius, right?
Right.
Dude, I found like 2 or 3 articles with the headline that had Genius in it, maybe 2 or 3. And a couple of those were referring to her and Jay-Z. You know, like she gave a genius tip to Jay-Z's album. And I'm like, what? How could we not admit Beyonce's an unmitigated genius? You know, Donald Glover, I found 2 articles, and that's after this fucking video came out. I found 2. Kanye had a lot, but then most of them were pejorative, like this nigga think he a genius. It wasn't a lot. It's sad, though, because you're like Rihanna, I found 1, and it was a cosmetic genius, you know, they called her. It's just kind of sad, because like I remember when James Franco, Seth Rogen's friend,
he had
a whole year of just nothing but press of he's the Renaissance man. He reads and he acts and he also does comedy, and he's, you know, and I'm like, wow, white genius bar so low, right? But black genius bar so high, and you know, even on that level, they weren't giving it out enough to anyone. It's sad.
Right. Because it's always like people throw these word terms around all the time, and it loses its value. And it's kind of, it's just, and then sometimes the people that get mad that the guy is getting called a genius is mad because nobody's calling them one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why do we always throw this word around when it comes to black dudes? Or I never really noticed it. I think some guy,
you know, that's how privilege works. But I wanted to be sure I wasn't tripping, so I Googled, because I didn't want to even say that and then find out, like, because I mean, I wouldn't have been shocked if my result. I actually was looking to see if it was going to come back with a bunch of results of basically like Kanye is a genius, Childish Gambino's a genius, and you know, just a bunch of stuff like that. That's what I was expecting to see.
Yeah.
But instead, it was like a lot of questioning of all the black people. Like, mm-hmm. Is Donald Glover a genius? And I was like, that don't count. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of shit is that? Like, what should we call Kanye a genius, or is it a myth? And I'm like, that y'all don't talk like that about other people. And then, like I said, even for Beyonce, I think that's something everyone should be able to agree on, that she's a genius, like her marketing, everything. And even still, dude, I saw articles questioning her genius. It really made me depressed, dog, to be like, well, what's good enough, you know?
Yeah, because when people say that, like, I don't think I really hear it that much. I mean, when I do think Kanye's a genius, I think Beyonce's a genius, but I think that's supposed to, the genius is supposed to negate him coming off as an asshole or a jackass or whatever pejorative term you want to call him. Because before 2 weeks ago, I thought, oh, Kanye is just like, and I've said it on the show, like he's just an arrogant wide receiver. He's a arrogant like cornerback or something. That's what he reminds me of. But then this stuff that he's saying, you know, that he said recently has just kind of been, it weaponizes white people against us. And then that's when there becomes a real issue. And when I think of Kanye, it's just like, I just hope he gets some help. But with Beyonce, she started, God, I'm going to mention Louis C.K. when I talk about this, but she did the drop, like with, you know, Louis releasing a special for $5, and then a lot of other people tried to do it. But Beyonce can just say now with the industry, like, I'm putting this album out, and I'm putting it out at midnight because I want to put it out at midnight on this day. She doesn't need any press. She doesn't need she's her own PR firm, you know? And a lot of other people do that now where they say, my album's come, like J. Cole recently did it with KOD. Fonte did it with his. They just said, hey, in a couple nights, this is coming out. And a lot of people, I don't know, man. And what she did at Coachella, I didn't see the whole thing, but.
Yeah, it was beef.
Yeah, like, you know, like that performance, like it's an event. And then, you know, shit, all that. And then the Super Bowl, what she did, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just like what Fonte says on this Cry No More record, just with regards to black men. He says, black man, if you get a teaspoon of compassion, that's more than double the serving size. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you even get a little bit, and I think that's the same for black women too, but it's the perspective that he's speaking from, because that's all he's ever known. Not that you can't have empathy for black women, but I think just the way that Beyonce speaks for female empowerment, I think that's what Glover and is doing with his shit. You know, when he says black man get your money, I don't think he would not want black women to not get theirs, you know.
Right.
I think it's just a perspective.
I mean, it's weird though, cuz like I don't know, man. I can't really, like, I like people's art, but I can't really know them. And I think one of the things I respect about Donald Glover is that while he has fucked up in public, he's kind of let people hate him for it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a level of respect I have for just being like, well, that was me then, that this is now. Maybe I'll adjust my work. Maybe I'll reply, you know, maybe I have some stuff to criticism, like some that improves my work, but I'm not going to perform for y'all this, mm-hmm. like, kind of these apologetics that y'all don't really respect anyway, you know? So I don't, you know, so like there's a level of this shit that I kind of respect about him, because it's like, if you're going to hate me, then okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get to tell you, you have to like me, and I don't, you know, I might not regret the joke I made. I might not regret the rap I spit, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't do it now because I know different things and I know better. And, you know, some of that is just that I don't think he lives his life in a transparent way for us. I don't think he's all up on social media like that. He doesn't really grant a lot of interviews, you know? So I can understand that, you know, but that being said, I mean, like I said, there's some valid critiques, because like, one of the things I've heard from my people that work in the journalism industry is he doesn't really, FX and him don't really grant a lot of interviews to black spaces. You know, like when they were doing interviews for season 2 of Atlanta, you know, it's in like a Rolling Stone or New Yorker or something. And, you know, those there's levels to all this shit. You know, it's not in The Root, you know. So even when you are speaking to your black experience and by proxy speaking for a lot of black people, are you truly engaged in the empowerment of that world? I don't know, you know, and do you have to be? I don't know that you have to be either, you know, but people are definitely going to judge you for it.
Yeah. I still like how he, in his monologue, he says, if you're black, I wrote Atlanta and Redbone.
Yeah. I mean, Like, I don't think there's any questioning of his blackness. You can question maybe activism or the way he utilizes it. Yeah. But, you know, I think the jury, should be over for questioning, like, is he black? Shit, that, you know, I can't believe that's still coming up. That's clearly just hate.
Yeah, because it seems like when they showed him, I guess, one of those people, they're just like us. Something was online that showed him and his babies. Him and his kids and his lady, people had, you know, some issues, with that. And how could he do this video? And he's married to a white woman, or he's with a
white woman. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Look, that shit gonna always be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, brothers want to be able to do that and have no judgment, but that is gonna have, some people are gonna judge you unfairly and harshly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they are gonna be right about the brothers too. So
that's true.
You know, the main thing is that I've seen is if you don't say nothing bad about black women, then they don't have a problem with you.
Right, like
but he had.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, like Winston Duke. Nobody has a problem with you. But if Winston Duke had some raps about, you know, I love black girls of every single culture, Filipino, Armenian girls up on my sofa. Yeah. Yeah, somebody might take issue with him and be like, hey, nigga, what the fuck this mean? It ain't black. And I feel like we as brothers need to do a much better job of hearing women out when they say that, because they not wrong. We always try to make them feel bad, and that that gaslighting is so pointless and fucked up. Because Lord knows if fucking Stacey Dash was walking around with a white man, we all would be like, of course. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen brothers that use the term wench defend, like, get mad that black women have an attitude about some brother saying some wild shit about black women and then dating a white woman. Like, I'm like, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get. Like, I think, like, within the last few years, I've been more attuned or more conscious of like making sure that I'm paying attention to women and then more specifically to black women, you know, like, I just making sure, especially on Twitter, like I'm following, I try to follow a lot more women, and it's funny to me. Cause I think about, like, you know, you hear, cause the men women debate is always going to be like men versus women is always going to be, it's never going to die. But then I looked this, oh, y'all be dating white girls. And I follow a lot of these women because they're intelligent and they're good looking, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, the woman that's like complaining, it's like, hey, I've got a crush on you, but you don't know it. And then I'm not going to be a creep about messaging you anyway. But I'll just admire you from afar and get on with my life. But yeah, I definitely like, because I want to talk to more, you know, women about things. And I just read the conversations on Twitter and just try to figure stuff out. Because I'm working on material about dating and stuff when it comes to dating interracially and like when it comes to certain things. And it's just like, and I'll ask, like I asked a female comic, I was like, what do you think of this? Like, what is this, okay? You know what I mean? Like, to say, like, is this real? Is this up to snuff? Am I saying X against about a you know, like, it's just, you want to make sure that the material, I guess, because the aim is to entertain and to make you laugh and to be realistic, but it's also, you don't want to have maliciousness, unnecessary maliciousness to what you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, that and plus, I mean, as men, it's easy to convince ourselves that we're right all the time, and that where our perspective is the only valid perspective, and how could anyone else see this differently? And it's a big trap that a lot of comics fall into. You know, I don't do stand up or anything, but I'm always kind of surprised by how egotistical some comedians can be about certain things. Well, I'm like, nigga, the room wasn't laughing. You're not right. Like, it's just like, you got, your job was to make these motherfuckers laugh. Now, I'm not saying every night you're going to get it, but if a joke keep bombing, maybe it's you, bruh. You know, maybe it's not the college kids. Maybe it's not bitches be stuck up. Like, maybe it's literally just your joke is kind of fucked up and it could use a little work, or you got to drop it, or, you know, times have changed, you know. And even with that, in the room, a lot of times the fucked up thoughts do work, because in the room, the people trust you. But, you know, the internet's a little different. But the point is, you can't get greedy.
Right.
So I do think it's good that you bounce shit off of people. You know, we should all be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Bounce shit off of people.
Definitely. And they tell you, like, the audience will, you know, in comedy, like, they will tell you what it is. And you want to get, like, it's not going to hit everybody the same way, but you definitely want to go. And I think that's the fun in it for me, where it's like, okay, can I get this thought that I have? Can I filter it enough to make a majority of the room get it, to get what the intent is? But then at the same time, once you create something, you create the joke and you let it out there, then sometimes it's not yours anymore. So, cause it's then it comes out, then it's like in any piece of art that you release out into the world, and this will get us back into the video. It's just like, I made it in this type of way, And then I put it out there. And then once I put it out there, it's up for your interpretation to some regard. And then it's just either they laugh or they don't. And why they're laughing, that's another thing, too. That's a reason mm-hmm. why Chappelle left, you know, his show. And then you just want to fight. You just, this is kind of what I think, like, as somebody, like, and you can speak to this, somebody who is a creator, a black person, who has a platform. I just fucking these fucking terms all the time. But that's what it is. But to someone who has a platform, like, are you thinking about that? Like, what does it mean for my people when I say these certain things, or when I put this up? Do you believe that you have a responsibility as a black person with as a black creative?
No, I don't. But the thing is, I think I personally have a responsibility as a black person. And I just happen to be a person that creates something. But,
well, that's a, like, I think that's synonymous. That works. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, if I'd be having a conversation on the sideline at the basketball court, it's going to sound like my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's not like I turn on the podcast and then I'm like, okay, now this shit counts. You know what I'm mean? Like? Right.
Exactly.
Like, I'm always kind of, you know, but I think that's just bred in me from my parents and, you know, my just a bunch of shit that's affected my life. So, I would think that it's not about responsibility to other people, but just like the responsibility for myself to want to be informed, to want to be smart, to want to be you know, have integrity and not be a hypocrite. You know, it's just. It's just as important when I say some shit that I think black people might not agree with
mm-hmm.
to that. It's more about my integrity than whether or not I'm upholding the race. Cause there's shit that I'm like, well, look, I'm an atheist. I think, you know, religion has held us back as a community in a lot of areas, post civil rights, you know, post civil rights. I feel like, you know, church has hurt us in a lot of ways and a lot of the misogyny and homophobia and shit we deal with is justified by religion and it shouldn't be. Now, there's a lot of black people that don't want to hear that shit because black people go to church as a percentage just about more than anybody. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I'm on the microphone, I can't say, well, I don't want to make anyone mad. So I don't start from that place. I try to start from what do I think is right. And sometimes what I think is right might make people mad and sometimes it won't. You know, this last episode we did, it'll be out later.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might get mad, you know, but you know, I hope they won't, but I know I have my integrity and I'll feel like I said all the things that I truly believe today.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's a thing that I struggle with as we're just insofar as well doing this podcast. It's me. Like it's the same guy, you know, like I'm the same guy that I am, you know, when this microphone is off. You know, granted, there's parts of me that I close off, that I don't share. And sometimes I got to make sure that I don't share all of it. But then, there's me on stage, which is a heightened version of me. But what I do when people, like maybe a coworker will come see a show or somebody that knows me from another aspect of my life and they see me on stage, and I say, and I always say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's me. That's the same guy, you know, from the office. And they're like, yeah, it is. So that's something that I can take to the bank with me. But it's something about, I know, like a lot of times, I don't know. And then I want to get into what you think about the white gaze, because that's something mm. that not white homosexual, but G-A-Z-E.
Oh, I know.
I know. But it's sort of like, I'm not as concerned with that as much as I am with the black gaze, especially as a performer, as a comedian. Like I did a show Saturday night, closed out a show and did about 25 minutes. And there's a few black people in there, but the only people that really came up to me was this black couple, they're middle-aged, maybe in their mid-40s. And it's, oh, man, we really loved you and blah, blah, blah. And it took a picture with me and everything. And I was like, okay, that means I did my job. I was righteous with my shit. That's all that I needed. Like, I know that I had a good set, but it was just like, okay, that puts the watermark of approval or whatever the fuck on that set. That's the stamp that I needed. You know, I'm not pandering, but it's almost like it's validation. So, I mean, I think that's one of my main concerns as a, mm-hmm. as a comedian. That's why I wanted to ask you about that. Like, it only seems like the white gaze comes up when someone is getting praise heaped upon them by mainstream America. What do you think?
All right. So on a few levels, right? So number one, the white gaze thing just in general is unavoidable. Mm-hmm. White people are going to consume us whether we let them or not, mm-hmm. whether we lean into it or we don't. There are white people who listen to Blackout Tips. I don't try to do my show for them, but they're there. Yeah. And I've accepted that if our show continues to get popular, at some point there will be certain black people who will turn on the show once white people take notice, if they ever do, you know, because there's going to be people that go, I'm not comfortable with y'all saying nigga to each other with white people listening. Now that's different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like yeah. When I thought it was mostly us listening, okay, cool. But now I see an audience full of white people and you've been like, oh, this nigga Kanye, we don't like that. You know what I mean? When yeah. you're doing fucking with black people and white people might be singing along or some shit, you know, I can see people changing, you know, and as a person who was a creator, I can't be concerned about that. Because then I'm going to stop being myself and I'm going to stop creating the art that I think is true to my life.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. Okay. Here's the second part of that. The white gaze thing is one of the worst and probably most bullshit critiques. And it's extremely hypocritical because black people pull that shit out on black people they don't like.
Yes.
Right? Like, you think Beyonce selling all the tickets to only black people?
No.
But when we celebrate what she does and we like it, we go, she didn't care about the white gaze. So she did HBCU when those white people didn't even know what was going on. And we go, yay, right?
Bet they looked at
Donald Glover does. Yeah, and they bought them tickets and all that shit. And they loved it and they were entertained, but they might not get all the cultural references.
Right.
But black people did, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, say it's Donald Glover and he does his black ass TV show or a black SNL skit where he is Orange Juice Jones and only niggas know about that shit. Then all of a sudden I don't feel comfortable with how he's playing to the white gaze. And I'm like, oh, you don't like this Negro. I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like if Rihanna did it, cool. But if, some other nigga you don't like did it, fuck them. I get it. Like, totally understand, but you're not being honest with yourself.
Right.
And then the third part of it is this. We're all obsessed with the white gaze. This is one of the things Kanye said that was right in his interview, but because he said it and he's crazy, it got swept up with the rest of this nigga obsessed with the white gaze. Well, let me tell you something, dog. You're mad at Kanye because he went on TMZ and said this. You're mad at Kanye because of his quote unquote platform. What does that mean? It's not the platform for black people you're worried about. Mm-hmm. Our black people as a whole have all been, this nigga's crazy. No, slavery wasn't a choice. For the vast majority of us, right? We're like, right. There might be a couple contrarians, but most of us are like, that's the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
So then why do we feel he's so dangerous? Why does Ta-Nehisi Coates need to use the platform of the Atlantic to address Kanye West? Because he's obsessed with the white gaze, right? Because I'm obsessed with the white gaze. I read the piece. Because you're obsessed with it, we're talking about it right now.
Yeah. And we've been conditioned, brother.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned. We have to be obsessed with the white gaze because we can't survive in a country right. where the cops get called on us for going to Starbucks mm-hmm. unless we are obsessed with how they think about us.
Yeah.
We have to think about how we're consumed or else we literally will die. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame any black person for being obsessed with what the fuck these white people thinking. We should be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's not good and you don't know until it's too late. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with I just think as a critique is garbage.
Yeah.
You know, but as a factor, like, if we're being honest, we're all thinking about that shit all the time. Now nobody wants to admit that, because then it seems like we're obsessed with white people. But nigga, I want to live.
Yeah.
Okay, Black Lives Matter was obsessed with getting white people to stop killing us. Does it mean that somehow they're like not valid? No, they're valid as fuck. White people doing all the killing.
Yeah.
They got all the power, you know. So if the message of my song is, "Hey, white people, you love seeing us dance, but you don't give a fuck about my life once I stop dancing," yeah, dog, I'm okay with that obsession with the white gays. They need to hear that shit as many times as possible from as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay.
Yeah. It's always like, there was this Vanity Fair piece that this guy, K. Austin Collins, wrote, and it was basically like, what is Donald Glover selling? It's like, what?
Right.
He says, Donald Glover's This Is America is a stylish, ambitious provocation, but what is it actually selling? Well, he's probably selling an album, but he's still making a statement. And then he compared the video to a Katy Perry video that came out maybe last year. That's something about what's the name of this record? He called it a low carb, artificially sweetened version of a similar idea. Some record called Chained to the Rhythm. And I looked at it, I was like, okay, I get it. Yeah, she's making a statement. You know, St. Vincent had an album called Digital Witness. She had a record called Digital Witness. And, you know, like, all we're paying all this attention to, you know, our phones and our screens, but what's really going on, blah, blah, blah. But let's take the time to get into the video. And I just want to get your thoughts on it. And just, like, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the video?
Oh, I was like, this is trash. You know, this like, nah. When I saw it, man, I was just like, one, I was super excited that, hey, new CG, new music, because he had been saying a couple cryptic things that made it sound like he might be done with the music, or he might be about to, let the whole Childish Gambino thing go and maybe be just Donald Glover or something. But, So I was excited that we got this. He dropped it on Twitter. You know, he's such a like artiste with that Twitter account now. He fucking drops one tweet, deletes all the other tweets, you know, shit like that. So, yeah, man, when I first saw it, I was shocked and stunned. I think it's supposed to be shocking and stunning.
Yeah.
It immediately makes you realize there's a ton of shit going on. You don't understand it. You need to keep watching it to get to the bottom of it. It felt kind of like Atlanta has felt this season.
Mm-hmm.
Actually kind of since the beginning, if you go back, but it kind of felt like Atlanta. It kind of felt like Get Out. It kind of felt like, it felt like it was a deep dive. And so my initial thoughts was, I have to view this more than once, and I don't want to talk about it until I feel like I have a firmer grasp on what is happening.
Sure. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I liked the dancing. I like the dancing and the beat, like, and you know, the thing that got me where when he killed that choir.
Yes.
On my initial watch, I was like, and I rewound it, and I did not watch the whole thing through the first time. I rewound. I was like, he shot a black choir. And obviously, like, it didn't register Dylann Roof off the rip, but I was just like, fuck. And then I was like, okay, he's not fucking around with this. And then everything else was just everything else. But to me, that was the most jarring moment to me. I just my initial thoughts were just like, I thought it was cool. And then, he's talking about, and then going to Rap Genius and looking at the lyrics. And I think, like, it's almost like, the Marshall McLuhan thing, communications guy, the medium is the message. The type of the flow that he used for the song, is that the mumble rap thing? I'm being really old here. So
yeah,
like,
that is pretty cool. You don't listen to no trap music, man?
Not really. I like Sky Zoo and Odyssey. Like, those are my...
Yeah, there's room for both. There's room for both, man. You got to dumb out a little bit, man.
Oh, no, yeah. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I only... When I hear something and it sounds good, I was having a conversation with one of my closest friends since first grade, my best friend, and he was talking about how there was a particular rapper that was kind of using the trap beat he's like, is this guy trying to fit in or trying to get a hit? What's going on here? And I was like, I was just like, I don't know, man. But I was like, maybe, like, and I was thinking, like, I saw Odyssey in concert a couple years ago, and he did a trap version of one of his songs in concert. You know, Odyssey is a super talented MC, and he's most of the time got a message to what he's saying, but he put it, like, aesthetically, it was around it. He did it with the trap beat and got the same, it was evocative of the same thing, but it was dressed up in a different manner. So that's and it made me think of that conversation that I had with my friend when I saw this, like the This Is America video. And I was like, oh, look what I'm whipping on. Look what, like, get your money. I'm this, I'm that. Like, I'm stunting, and look at me sing. Like, the video was like, look at me sing and dance. Don't think about all the shit that's happening behind me. I'm dancing. Mm-hmm. Don't think about this shit. But at the same time, it was like that duality of we rise amidst all this bullshit. We're still able to sing and dance and thrive. You can kill us, but you ain't really gonna kill our spirit. You're not really gonna kill us. And Coates has this passage that he used, this Zora Neale Hurston passage. I think there's like a new book coming out that she found from some narrative that she did. Speak on it a little bit, because I think you know more than me.
No, it's a posthumous book, right? It's coming out like... they're working on it. I actually don't know when it's coming out, but it's, well, yes, I heard that, like, I don't know, a week or two ago. I was like, yeah, new books. I was like, new? Yeah. Like, I had to go to Google quick. But yeah. Now, one thing I will say, man, it's interesting. I think this video is like a Rorschach test.
Mm.
And it's what you bring into it that seems to determine what you get out of it.
Right.
Right? Because I see people say, well, this is pimping black trauma for a white audience. To which I say, what do you think Lemonade was? What do you think Formation was? Do you think we're the only one that bought those tickets? Do you think I'm the only nigga that seen Get Out? That only black people saw that? Like, this is America. That's as American as fucking apple pie right there, homeboy. Black people have used the trauma we exist in to get ourselves out of it, and to also to make money and to communicate with each other our entire existence. Like,
what the fuck do you think hip hop is?
Yeah, that's about you cherry picking. I don't like this nigga, so I don't want him to do it. But you don't get to decide what a nigga from Stone Mountain talks about. You know, that's just, you just gonna have to be mad. But I think the worst interpretation I've seen is either he's pimping out trauma, as if he, mostly people that are very unfamiliar with his work. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other interpretation I thought was really bad, was he's telling black people, you guys party too much, and that's why black people in the background are living in chaos, is because y'all are too busy having fun. Yeah. And I was like, another person very unfamiliar with his work, and probably harboring some type of resentment towards the dude, and coming in thinking he would even say something like that when it's obvious he wouldn't.
You know what? Now that continue. You just made me
think. No, go ahead.
You saying ahead. That made me think of the Kendrick Lamar Flying Lotus record, the video. Is it Never Catch Me? I can find it. I'll figure it out. But he has the video of the kids dancing, and it's like at the funeral and stuff. Oh, shit. I'm going to find it. Never Catch Me, and I think it's Kendrick Lamar in the video. And that's a pretty fucking intense video.
I'll do you one better though, Chris. I'll do you one better. Okay. The title of Kendrick's album, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Sure.
It literally means to take the trauma and the pain you have experienced and make it work for you so that you can live and prosper. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole analogy. Like, the record was, it might as well have just been called Black Trauma and how to use it to communicate to your people and to make money.
Yeah.
But somehow it's only wrong when Donald Glover does it. And I don't know where that, it's like because he wore short shorts and he talks a certain way, people go, well, he must not have had that traumatic upbringing or whatever. And I'm like, what made you think he's not black? He's still black in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was kind of that was probably the worst take I saw. I was just, and like, dude, I'm telling you, it was so bad. I deleted Twitter off of my phone.
Oh,
like,
shit. Wow.
I did, because it bothered me a lot because I just did not want to see people fight about something that's so nebulous because the video isn't trying to be easily definable. You know, it's a lot of complex stuff, a lot of little clues. Like, he wore Confederate pants and shoes the entire video, no shirt. He made faces that mimic minstrelsy poses that it's like you won't figure that video out for weeks, if that, right? And he'll probably never give an interview and tell us what it means. Like, knowing him, he'll just be like, it's whatever y'all wanted to mean, you know. So I'm like, how can you fight about this with people? How can you be at somebody's neck about this video, whether you, even if you disagree with them, like, you should understand you didn't make it, so you don't know what he meant, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, and it's like, I've seen people say, like, oh, you know, just because you don't get it doesn't mean that you're okay if you don't get it or if you don't like it. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, the older I get, the more happy I am when people, like, when there's more of a, not necessarily universal, but when popular opinion, like, everybody was happy about Beyonce at Coachella. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, I'm not, I think Beyonce's super talented. I followed her career since, you know, Destiny's Child. And I like her. I'm not a stan or anything. And it's not really my demographic with Beyonce. But I like her. I think she's great. And that's where it ends with me. And when when people get excited about it, I was like, all right, people fucking like Beyonce. That's cool. They're happy about something for a fucking change. Or when people watch Game of Thrones, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I like that people like it. You know what I mean? I don't, it doesn't make me mad, or I don't think I'm better or less than someone because they like something that I may not be into.
Yep. I feel the same way, man. Like, when I say I'm an empath, I got to do a better job because I always bring up the negatives. Like, you know, I had to get off Twitter because I was just absorbing too much, man. Yeah. You know, there's so much trauma and pain. People, if you look beyond the words, what people are really saying is, I don't like this dude and I feel dismissed by y'all's love of him, you know? Mm-hmm. And whatever problem I have with him, I think that should be enough for y'all to collectively to get him out the paint, and y'all aren't doing it.
Yeah.
So that's what the real trauma is. But instead, it's and honestly, if we're being fair, their trauma is even really on another level about wanting to be able to like him. Because if he would just make a couple concessions to acknowledge, hey, I fucked up. I want to do better. Those people would love to be able to enjoy his art and to give him the benefit of the doubt and to have fun with the rest of us and be like, yeah, you know, I like this song now. But they can't because he won't even acknowledge them. So there's that, right? But some of the stuff I forget to talk about as an empath. Man, when I see people doing good, when I see people, like, living good, people like accomplishing goals, like I'll be so happy for them, and their happiness makes me happy too. You know, like when you know, like I was watching The Last OG, man. When I seen your scene, I was like, fuck yes, man. You know, when I seen you get beat up in Jessica Jones, I was like, my man, you know what I'm saying? But it made me happy because I'm like, it's Chris. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing, things are happening for him.
Yeah.
You know, I never think, you know, when my friends get invited places for their podcast or when they do events, I'm always like, yes, man. Like, you know, I love that. You know, I love that energy, that positive energy. And I always forget to bring that up. So yeah, Mark Lamont Hill at the Philly game? All right. Anyway, but I always bring that up. I always forget to bring that part up, man. So, but yeah, the traumas and shit that we have too, that was the kind of the thing in the video that I think it freaked a lot of people out. And then after that, it became about controlling the narrative for everybody. But how can you control a narrative for everyone, man?
You can't. There's no way. And it's just like, once it's out there, everybody's bringing their own take to it. And it's just, and it's interesting that part of me likes like saying, oh, I'm interested in the titles of all the think pieces that I'm not going to read. I said that. And then some of right. them, I did read some of them. So,
right. It, exactly.
You know, so it's just like, you know, it's fun to like, kind of to hear people talk about this stuff, but I mean, for me, what it did for me was like, yeah, this motherfucker went in, like the vulnerability that he had, he had his shirt off and, you know, he was dancing and the joy and the dexterity that I was like, God, I didn't know he could dance like that, you know?
Oh, man. How much choreography did they spend on that shit? Because,
yeah,
I mean, and so the dances, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Another Mm-hmm. There were 10 dances. All the dance breaks were viral dances like that. Mm-hmm. I floated around. Here's what I don't know that maybe you noticed, and maybe I'm just telling people some shit that I already know, but those dances are like not really viral organically. There's companies that do those dances, and then like Madonna is one of the investors in one of the companies that does that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so even in that, white people got us out here dancing. And while we're happy to be like, yeah, you know, this dance is new. Oh, you know how to Milli Rock or whatever the fuck. It's also some shit that they sat around and like cooked up in the lab. Like it adds to the minstrelsy angle of it. You know what I mean? Like the video was deep, bro. I'm never going to understand all of it. You know, I don't think I will. But to just dismiss it out of hand, it was just so callous and wrong for a lot of people, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just thought it was fucking great. Like, I mean, the last time that I had a visceral reaction out of a video was recently. It was Drake's what's the record, the God's Plan. Like, I teared up watching it. You know, I was just like, let me see what all these people are fucking talking about Drake. Like, I don't have any real problem with Drake at all. But then I watched the video and I was like, gee, man, this is great. Like, this is, you know, it just evoked so much emotion out of me. And I think me as a consumer of art, when it comes of videos and art in general, but to see dance, like, I love to see people dance. I'm not the best dancer. I'm black. I have rhythm. But I like seeing people, oh, my God, those kids with the ease and just, it was beautiful. And seeing that, like, you know, seeing the thing, like, them do it on SNL was great, too. And how he would, like, I mean, he was, like, Donald Glover was just, like, doing the shit that you would see somebody who you would think, like, you know, like, I don't know, like the lead dancer of any R&B singer or any type of performer, like he would step in, you know, and he'd step in the dance with the crew and then easily jump out of it. And just, it was so seamless. It was just like, I appreciated that part of it. And I really thought, I mean, just my interpretation was, you know, what I told you a little earlier, just, I think he was juxtaposing a lot with, you know, and it just, and that video made me, like, that song's been with me, like, for the past, what, 3 days now, I guess? And it's just like you thinking about it, like, don't catch you slipping up. Like, fuck, that's real. I'm at work in my cubicle. Like, I'm at work in my cubicle, like, you know, thinking about that shit. Like, don't slip up, nigga.
I was in Roosters eating lunch by myself, thinking about how they call the police on black people for being at Starbucks and Waffle House and and shit. You know, doing minding their own business. I was reading a comic book, listening to This Is America on my headphones.
Yeah,
and I think the thing that the video captured for me the most was the nightmare that America is for us. You know, we are a people without a home, but whose home is our captor's home. You know what I mean? Like we've had to make a home where we could, and we've had to deal with that, and that trauma is real, and whether they may accept us while we're dancing and shit, but I loved in his face, he never showed joy. It was always a performance. And at the end when he's running away, you know, like it just felt kind of like the terror that is the underlying feeling of being black in America, especially in the South, but I assume anywhere, you know, but being black in America, it is a horror movie.
Yeah.
And so that refrain of "This is America" is so beautiful to me, because that's why I don't believe the video is about solely what white people think. I think it's for us, because it's also advocacy of this terror. This is America. Like, you're looking at me dancing, but this shit going on behind me, this is my life, and I come from this, and I'm surrounded by this. And so this is what actually America looks like. You just want, like, you're cool with me acknowledging, you know, throwing that football, but you're not cool with me taking that knee, you know, but but both of those are America. That football's America, but so is that knee. And that was, you know, to me, this is kind of that almost taking a knee moment of, you know, like, you know, and I think it means a lot coming from a dude like that, because white people keep trying to like adopt this nigga, you know, like they keep trying to like over and over, white people keep waiting on him to be like the Carlton black dude.
Right.
And he keeps reminding him with his black ass art, like white people are dangerous and will consume you and are not to be trusted. You know, even though I fit every stereotype you think would be, you know, these black Republican type niggas, you know, I talk a certain way, I dress a certain way, I have a white baby mama, I got money, I'm on these shows, I'm in these movies, and the idea is, well, then you should belong to us. And he keeps showing up and being like, nope, I'm still on the wrong side, I'm with the black people, you guys ain't shit. And I don't know how long he, you know, like, I hope he always does it, but it's just kind of, I'm going to continue to acknowledge it as long as he continues to keep put out work like this.
Yeah, man, it's, I mean, I think we kind of touched on, I know Randolph has said this a lot this year, the last year and a half, close to 2 years, that black art is going to thrive in the in the time of Trump. And you even said, I think you mentioned it in your last episode at the time that we're recording now.
Yeah, with JL.
Yeah, with JL, and saying how, like,
or JL Coon Van, as I like to call him. But go ahead.
Yeah, man, he is the non-famous, like, fucking heel. Like, he's doing what Don Lemon did, like, before he changed back.
You
know, like, he's just gonna just dig in and be right. And it's just like, because you even said this, and it's on record, like, so it's not like we're talking out of class.
Yeah.
But, like, you were like, who do you think your fan base is?
Yeah, he's like it's like he just likes to burn bridges. I'm just like, whose bridges are you burning? Because it's us, bro. We got you.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't want us over here. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel insulted or not. But it's like, you know, I can only listen to you. I mean, I like, You know, obviously I kid him, but I mean, I do know when Oscar season approaches, I got to hear how Black Panther's not that good. And sorry to bother you was overrated. And whatever other black thing is coming out, I got to hear how that is just not quite good enough as whatever Tom Hanks did this year.
Yeah, probably Widows, the my man that did 12 Years a Slave joint.
Yeah, like he's gonna find some white shit that I'm like, that was boring as fuck. It'd be like, yeah, it's probably be like, you know, it's gonna be whatever Mel Gibson directs. He's gonna be like, you know what? you gotta give him credit. It's a good movie. I mean, you know, he's gotta be controversial. That's his brand.
Yeah. And but yeah, dude, this has been great. I think we kind of we just kind of I wanted to get your thoughts on this and Glover and the white gaze, all this stuff. And I think we got somewhere. I'd like to think. I think we.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff. I'm trying to think what I left, but I think I got most of what I wanted to say. And you know, and we talked about it on our show too, man. I thank you for asking me, man. I really wanted to talk about this shit because it's been bothering me the way it's been talked about. And I don't feel like anyone's necessarily wrong. Like, there's a few opinions I do feel are absolutely, like, fucked up and wrong. Like, trying to tell him he can't use black trauma in his art. Like, he ain't black and, like, he hasn't gone through shit. That's stupid and fucked up.
Yeah.
But stuff like, I don't want to watch black trauma. I get that. Yeah, oh, sure. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of shit I don't watch, you know? But I'm not one of those people, you know? The people that praise Get Out and The Pimp a Butterfly and Lemonade and other forms of black trauma that have come up, I don't think it's right for them to turn around and say this guy doesn't get to tell his story, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Solange, like everyone's talking about it right now. And when these motherfucking awards come up that these white people have, y'all be mad as shit when we don't win them awards.
Right.
You know what I'm
Because we care about the white gays. We all do. I think that's a big revelation. I think that's a big revelation of this episode, is that everybody is concerned about that shit.
I've been thinking about it, man. This is what I have. Like, sometimes I just get to thinking, and I'll be like, "Let me get away from everybody, because let me figure out what's really bothering me about the way we're talking about this." And that was the thing. I was like, "Wait a minute.
Yeah,
we're all obsessed with the white gays. Mm-hmm. Why else would we give a fuck about this? Like." You know, if he hadn't have been on SNL, it would have been a different reception. If he would have dropped this in the middle of Atlanta, like if it would have been like they go to commercial, this video plays,
and then
they come back. You know what I mean? Like it would like, but the reaction would have been totally different because it's like, well, a million people watch Atlanta and a lot of them are black. Yeah. So it's still for us, y'all. But, you know, you drop it during the middle of SNL and it's like, ooh, this for Donald. So we're definitely obsessed with it, man. And I think it's healthier for us to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, how many podcasts are about that, bro? How many, you know, how many, dude, one of the things that bothered the fuck out of me, I watch people who don't do anything but talk about their trauma, talk about how this man shouldn't talk about his trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what does this mean, bro?
Yeah.
Charleston got shot, they got shot in front of all of us. Mm-hmm. Not just who we decided it matters to. It matters to all of us, dog. Like, you can't take that away from somebody.
Yo.
Now, you might not want it in that art, and you might find it distasteful. I can get with that. But you can't take away them doing it. You can't say you can't do that. That's ridiculous to me. So, you know, like I said, Get Out, all this slavery imagery, all this violence. But we wanted it to win over that damn Dancing White People movie, bro. We did. So, I just don't want us to just stop lying to me, man. I can't take the lies. I don't mind. The truth might be ugly, which is I don't like that nigga, but I'll take that. But I don't like the lies, man. So I really feel like this drove a lot of conversation. And
it did,
the saddest part, in a week, we won't even be talking about it. You know, in a month, we'll be on to the next thing because that's just what we do. I still remember when Humble dropped. Remember when Humble dropped?
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about the lines about, I like my girl, natural, like Richard Pryor, afro. Mm. And the soft misogyny of Kendrick Lamar. And I'm not saying it wasn't. It was. Mm-hmm. But remember how all consuming that shit was for like 3-4 days and then boom, it went away. So I bet you that's what's going to happen with this. It'll go away in a few days.
It's something that's going to stick with me, I think, where it's just like, it's inspiring to see that shit. Like, to me, it's just like, well, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, well, Humble stuck with us.
Yeah.
But I mean, that controversy didn't.
Oh, no, no. That, I'm just thinking, like, yeah. I'm just thinking about that, like Kendrick Lamar, this Childish Gambino stuff, where it's just like, what am I talking about in my stand-up? Like, what am I actually saying when I present? You know, it's just, it's really making me sharpen up the weaponry, man. Like, it makes me, it excites me. You know, I love it, man. I love black art. You know what I wanted? Yeah. Did you listen to J. Cole's new album?
Yeah, actually I did.
Would you?
I'm not really a huge J. Cole fan, but I actually like this album.
Me too.
I need to listen to it a little bit more, but I liked it a lot better than his other stuff. I don't like when he does all that "When I Was in High School Trying to Have Sex for the First Time" music. I'm like, dude, let that shit go. Like, rap about some shit that's happening today, you know?
Yeah.
He got a little old man on him with the whole rapping about the trap rappers and what they need to do with their lives. But I kind of like that he took a position. And I also thought the stuff he said about the drug use being something that people are using that is actually hurting them.
Yes.
And I thought that was actually a good point. But people tried to turn it into, like, you just hating on Future and all this shit. I'm like, but y'all really think these niggas rapping about promethazine and shit is okay? Like, y'all think that's, whatever they're doing with that, y'all think that's fine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know all the drama with his fans, and like, and that's part of what makes Twitter fun too, where it's like, the shit that we do, man, like, we make, I don't know, man, we still gonna party, we still gonna cook, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's part of it too, like, amidst the bullshit that you deal with, but like the J. Cole fans being pretentious and all this shit. But I like the album. Oh, and then before we go, are we either your show or mine? We got to do Breaking In. You know that?
Oh, we can do your show. We can do your show. I definitely owe you one. We'll do your show next. And yep, I'm seeing it.
Cause I know the Melissa McCarthy movie's coming out, and something else maybe, but like Breaking In, I've been wanting to see that for a minute. I might even make, if I'm not doing anything Thursday night, that might be a Thursday night joint, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely seeing it on Thursday night. Probably if I can get Karen to go too. I think she's excited about that one.
Oh,
so.
She is. Oh, she's actually excited about a black woman lead film. Okay.
Finally, she went to see Acrimony after I guilted her into it, and guess what? She loved it. So I feel like, you know, this is the right thing to do. So yep, can't wait, man.
Yeah, it should be good. Plug your stuff. If they don't know you, what, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them, but for anybody, listen, that doesn't know about you,
I'm just a black man. Okay, I'm just a barcode. All right, guys. check me out. The Black Guy Who Tells is a comedy podcast to do with me and my wife. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can still find me on Twitter and stuff. Like I said, I'll try to hop back on there. Some of this shit dies down. It's just a lot after Kanye's. It's too much. But I'll definitely be hopping on and see you guys there. I'm Rodimus Prime on Twitter. And Chris, thank you so much for having me, bro.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure, man. This was great. Stay on the line, Rod, for a little bit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you. Until next time, take it easy.